Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
And on every street corner we go to, and basically any restaurant we talk to loudly at, anywhere in Los Angeles where Michael and Andrew
wherever
are.
Wherever we can get people to listen.
That's right.
My goodness. And thankfully we have a lot of them listening, so that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
I'm
Absolutely.
Michael Sterling. Who you are?
I'm Andrew David James. Good
yes,
to see you, Michael.
Did
you
nice
have a good week?
To see you too. I did. I did have a nice week. Had a couple shows at the nightclub. And
nice. What shows did you have?
John Lloyd Young was in. Goodness. Do you know who John Lloyd Young is?
Alice. Tell me who John Lloyd Young is.
He created the role of Frankie Valli on Broadway in Jersey Boys.
Won a Tony for it.
He created the role.
Yeah.
And also won every major theater award that you can win on Broadway for that role. And then he did the role again in the motion picture that came out in 2014.
Yep.
Great singer, great actor. Yeah. Really nice person, too.
I know he created that role. Yeah.
Yeah. Just not a good-looking kid, though.
Now, isn't that must be so hard to be him, don't you think?
My God. These women at the club, you know, they come from all over the world, literally all over the world, to see him in my club. Because it's an intimate environment.
Yep.
Andrew's been there. He knows. He's seen John.
That's right.
These women swoon for... An hour.
I got to be honest, if my beautiful wife hadn't been sitting next to me, I was going to throw my boxers up there at him. I don't know. I thought it seemed like the thing to do.
My, I'll have to remember that. We'll have to warn John if that ever happens.
How did that go? Was that amazing? Was that show amazing?
Yeah, it was terrific. And then we had Miscast, Right Singer, Wrong Song, which is always a fun
Interesting.
Show.
Cool. Who are your performers in that?
Well, you know, about 12 of them. They're all stars of regional musical theater here in Los Angeles.
Right.
And the premise is they're singing it's the right singer, but they're singing a song that they would never, in a role that they would never be cast in. And they have to make the song their own.
Wow.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So it's a lot of hilarity ensues.
There's so much to see out here, man.
Right.
It's very staged and produced. And it's a good show. We had good fun. How about you?
A good week. I was involved in a workshop and a couple other things. And obviously, we were all about L.A. And, of course, today I was excited because we have two amazing guests in studio.
We do. Indeed.
We have the amazing Alice Hunter, whose voice you may have heard a little bit. And also, we have Ellen Gear, who's calling in right now.
Oh, she is.
Shall we say hi to her?
Absolutely.
So that's great. Hello, Ellen. This is Andrew James from State of the Art. You're live on the radio. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Welcome and hi.
Ellen, it's Michael Sterling. We met when you were here last.
Yes, I remember you, yes.
How are you? Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, well, thanks for having me.
And we didn't want to ask you to drive all the way into Los Angeles.
I know. What has happened to our beautiful community with this traffic?
I know, but I hope that you were okay with that. I mean, we'd love to see your beautiful face in the studio. But yes. Well, you know what? I was just starting to talk about you, and so I'm going to give her proper introduction. So do you mind? All right,
no.
Just for our listening audience, always the consummate, captivating actress, Ellen has worked continuously for 46 years in television and motion pictures since making her debut in Richard Lester's Petulia in support of Julie Christie and George C. Scott. Probably best remembered for her turn as the committed actress who is lined up as the third and last date for Harold by his mother in the cult classic Harold and Maude. Miss Gear has played character and supporting parts in scores of movies and television shows. Some of her other film credits include Hard Traveling, Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger, Phenomenon, and The Odd Couple 2. You see, our studio audience love those credits.
Ellen, what a pleasure to have you call in today. I tell you, I've been out...
And now, embarrassing moments.
Ellen, you'll have to excuse us. There's a button on our board here today that I have accidentally clicked that allows me to play every sound effect we have in our arsenal.
Oh, you're going to go crazy.
I'm telling you, you just got the premiere intro that will now be used for every great guest, and you're the only one who's gotten it so far. How does that sound?
I love being an original.
You certainly are. Thank that. You. I have on so many occasions had a chance to come out to the Theatricum and see so many wonderful shows out there. First of all, I love your dedication to Shakespeare. Was that something your father, Will Gear, was that something he shared?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He actually gave me my Shakespeare book. And, you know, I have little troubles over the years. And he gave me my Shakespeare and he said, here, Ellen, read any line from here and you'll never have to go to a psychiatrist. And he's right.
That's a great line. What a wonderful line that is.
Yeah, yeah. No, we grew up with Shakespeare. It was the kind of thing he would take me to a college class he was teaching, and he would say, okay, Ellen, now do Viola, this act, this scene. And I just had to be ready, and I learned to love the material, because it's all about humanity.
That's absolutely true. And it's interesting to see how applicable it is today when you look at the universality of his words 500 years ago and the subject matter and how it still applies to our lives today. It's really amazing.
Well, we found out putting on Titus Andronicus, which is a play that I've always kind of steered away from, because it's so male and so vicious, it's kind of perfect. This could sound funny. It's perfect for today, because it's about a government that's gone awry, and what happens to people when the government kind of has its own scene going and the citizens are left standing with their mouths agape.
Right.
So I put that on it, and for some reason people are really, really liking it. So, you know, it's when you go to the theater and recognize things, that's what it's all about.
Well, and you obviously have such a diverse season there at one of LA's most beautiful outdoor venues. It's nestled up in the hills of Topanga Canyon. I'm from Malibu, so it's right in my neck of the woods. How long have you been there in that venue?
Oh, well, you know, we moved there in the 50s with my dad, and then after he passed in the 70s, we all got together and said, well, we're going to carry it on, and we created these wonderful educational programs as well as the summer repertory season. You know, and we have a good company that flows in and out and always welcoming the new ones. It's a wonderful life, and very fortunate that the LA community has supported us to keep us going over the years.
Well, and you know, it's a very mystical experience to come out there to that beautiful
theater. Oh, is it?
Don't you? I think so.
I agree very much.
I think it's very unique and very special from the moment you get... Actually, from the moment you kind of head up the road in Topanga Canyon, and then you find the parking lots available to the parking, and then you have that wonderful walk into that theater. It's just breathtaking, really.
Yeah. It is. It's a beautiful part of the canyon. It is, and we're very lucky that, you know, we turned the family home into a venue for the LA community, and now people are coming from far away, and then so it's good. It's good. We're theater people. That's what we are.
Well, so the press information that Andrew and I have lists every single performance of what you're doing out there, which is a beautiful, beautiful season. Can you tell us a little bit about what's coming up that people can have the opportunity of seeing? I know that...
absolutely. We're now at the point where we have all five shows in repertory. Mm-hmm. Midsummer is playing now, and that seems to be the staple for everyone, because it's the best way to introduce your kids to Shakespeare, and it's a lovely experience with fairies in the woods. You can't beat it, you know. It's really beautiful. And then this year we did something. I just thought we needed an on-the-edge season, so I put Romeo and Juliet in East Jerusalem, you know, and that's a country and religions working things out, and sometimes their values get suppressed onto the young, mm-hmm. which happens, and the young couldn't get together, so suicide was their way out. So it's that I think is good for teenagers to see, so they can rebel if they need to. and then we have Uncle Tom's Cabin was a book that has penetrated my heart for many, many years, and then it went through the period of everybody thinking of Uncle Tom as a horrible thing, you know, and then it became packed onto him and the name, and most many people hadn't even read the novel written by Harriet Beecher Stowe, who was a very religious, was a religious woman.
Yes.
And she was writing in a time when women aren't supposed to write anyway. Mm-hmm. Stay home already. And so she wrote this book, and she started the whole thing of the realization that our country was built slavery, you know. And but she also brought into this marvelous novel about how the industrial nations up north were really doing the same kind of thing in a different way, you know, with the young Irish and the different migrants. So I just thought it would be a perfect thing to for us all to just take a look at, you know. And again, especially the young people, you know, if they know their history, it just makes for a better society. And I love doing that, and I have some beautiful actors, and our audience is becoming multiracial, which absolutely mends my soul. And then the other one we're doing is The Imaginary Invalid, which is a spoof off of Molière's writing. A woman named Constance Congdon is the adapter, and she did an incredible job. People really seem to love it. I mean, you have to laugh. If you don't laugh, well, then something's wrong with you. So that's going on, and have I hit all five now?
You certainly
can. We do
you
so much,
and you have such wonderful other engagements, like family.
Yeah,
fundings.
We have. I'm excited about the fall, because coming up September, because we have a thing called Under the Oaks, and there it's a chance for people to enjoy music. You know, we have Judy Norton, who is she was one of the Walton kids, of course.
Yes,
you know,
she's a friend. She's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, and I heard her sing, and I thought, my God, it's beautiful. So she's coming out, and Little Faith, they're an incredible gospel rock group that is just, again, they need to be seen. And then we have something called Love Song, Story Time, and Mood Madness, where Tom Allard, who is a wonderful storyteller, is coming out. And then somebody's doing, in many distant cities, the last one of September, is doing something with kind of a celebration for David Bowie. So I think we've got wonderful music. Oh, and I almost forgot the family's Woody Guthrie story. That's when all of the family gets on stage, and we have a story about Pop intertwined with Woody, because they were great old friends. And we tell the story through Woody's music and a narration of his words. And that's a marvelous thing. And I think my 7-year-old grandchild is going to play the autoharp for the first time during this land.
It is a family.
So it's going on into the fourth generation.
A family affair. And do you not have a program where you introduce young people to the works of Shakespeare and for them to be able to participate in...
That's the bottom line there. We have a camp, which is every summer for kids from age, you know, 4 on up. And then if you want to go into the adult academy, go on up to 81 to 100. We don't care. We love giving the words of Shakespeare into people's mouths, whether you're professional or non-professional, because it's a beautiful thing to have in your life. We also have school days. That's where we put on Romeo and Juliet for a while, and that's kids come up from all over LA, and they have classes taught by our actor teachers, and then we have a lunch break, and then they see the play, and we have question and answers, and we have a packet that goes out to the schools prior, so they're really prepared to see the story, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, we've been doing that for years.
Very important, I think, to introduce kids to this.
Oh, it is.
This culture.
There's nothing. Yeah, when kids stand up and they're saying Shakespeare, you know, and then at the same time we have adults come who've always wanted to, and they're scared to death. Kids aren't scared. They just rattle it out.
Now, you have something that I think sounds delightful, speaking of children, coming up in October, which is Botanicum.
Oh, you've got everything here. Yeah, the Botanicum. We started that my daughter started it 3 years ago, and The community has turned out loving it, and the biggest event is the haunted house. We take the whole huge outdoor stage and turn it into a haunted house. And it's so scary, I won't go anymore.
Well, now, we talked a little bit about what a family affair the Theatricum is. Obviously, Willow we've seen perform there a number of times, and a number of family members. What was it like growing up in such an artistic household with so much devotion to the arts and to performance?
I feel blessed, and I feel blessed passing it on to the next generation, because it's all about life and giving and the taking of it, and exposing people to things that maybe they don't want to see, which you do through theater, and how I think it's a blessing to have come from the family I come from, and that we as a family are really working very hard so that it carries on into the future as a space for Los Angeles people and those who are surrounding can come.
Well, I think that's evidently clear when people do arrive. I certainly felt that way the first time I was ever there, and I saw...
Well, I hope I get to meet you, so next time you come, you know, I'll toddle on over and say hi.
Oh, well, you bet. You actually did meet me. You were here on the radio with Paul Strohle and myself.
No,
I'm the good-looking one.
See, now I knew you were going to say that. Paul is always going to disagree.
No, I remember meeting you. Yes, and you were very into music. You guys were so funny.
Yeah, we try. Yes, well, you haven't met Andrew in person.
That's right. I haven't met Andrew.
But I will look forward to that in the near future.
Yeah, good.
Absolutely.
Good.
Did you ever imagine in your lifetime that you would be doing what you're doing now when you were a young girl and you were just starting in the business?
No, you see, we went through that blacklist thing, and so we moved around a lot. I went to about 15, 16 different schools in my life, and so met a lot of different people, and what I found out, I couldn't type very well. I started to just get into theater, you know? And I was a union actor and acting at age 15. With Stratford, Connecticut Shakespeare Festival, and then on tour with Bert Lahr, and I just haven't stopped since. I've been able to make my living in theater, and then, of course, once you start having a family, you come out west, and that's where you can make money on TV.
Exactly.
And then that supports your habit.
Very
exactly.
True.
Well, you do it all, and we are so grateful as Los Angelinos to have you doing it for
us.
Oh,
thank you very much. That's
absolutely.
Very kind of
you. And ladies and gentlemen, the outdoor amphitheater, the Will Gears Theatricum Botanicum, it is terraced, as Andrew said earlier, into the hillside of the Rustic Canyon in Topanga. And audience members are advised to dress casually, warmly for evenings, actually, and bring cushions for bench seating. And picnickers are welcome before or after the performances. And for more information and to purchase tickets and subscriptions, call 310-455-3723 or go to the following web address, Theatricum, which is theatricum.com. You can also visit them on Facebook, facebook.com/Theatricum, and their Twitter account as well, which is @Theatricum. But make it a point to get up and out of your house and go see this extraordinary venue with this extraordinary work going on at stage.
And, of course, it's nestled in such a beautiful area. You can go straight up PCH, and you can make a right on Topanga Canyon and zip straight up halfway, or you can do the same thing from the 101 and turn left, and you're going to find that you feel like you've traveled a million miles even though you've just gone a little trip down the road. So
yes, and you can picnic on the grounds, and there's a lovely restaurants in the area, too.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice restaurants. So that, you know, that know about us and make sure that you get out in time to see the show.
And Ellen, we have in studio with us a beautiful young actress by the name of Alice Hunter, who is co-starring in a show written by Kathy Najimy and Mo Gaffney called Parallel Lives, which is getting ready to open tomorrow evening at Gary
Good
Marshall's
luck.
Gary Marshall's Falcon Theater there in Toluca Lake. And she is actually not from Los Angeles. She
I'm
is.
Not.
You say
not
hello to Ellen.
Transplant. Hi, Ellen. You're amazing.
Hi. Where are you from?
I was born in England, but I was raised in Australia. I was in England till 9, then Australia until I was 17, and I moved my little self out here by myself.
Oh, so. Good for you! I wish you all the luck in your theatrical
thank
journey.
Thank you so much.
Oh my God, it's a good road. It's a good life.
Indeed.
Yeah. I love it already.
Thank you for sharing a little bit of that with us today on State of the Arts. You know you're welcome here anytime. We love you.
Thank
and
you.
We love Lucy Pollock, by the way, too. So.
Okay. Thank you so much for the help.
Best wishes on your season. Thank you.
Bye.
Wonderful weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ellen Deer.
So, Alice, did you ever see the Waltons?
I didn't.
You didn't?
But I'm letting all of Ellen's mojo come through this,
right?
The speakers right now.
It seeps through the microphone, doesn't
she's
it?
She's so incredible.
She's really wonderful.
Oh, great.
And
she's
so
really
devoted to
it.
The arts in L.A. I mean,
huge.
She's been here for so many years doing just really great Shakespeare work and training young actors at every trip, every stop along their journey. And she's really something special, a treasure here in Los Angeles.
It sounds like a beautiful place to go.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's a great kind of date night, actually. You know?
Noted.
Yeah.
She's making a list here in studio.
Checking it twice.
Well, we should take a minute, Michael, and thank our sponsors here.
We should indeed.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world for providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit www.breakdownexpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our State of the Arts Live calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And the arts in L.A. this summer is booming, as we've just heard from Ellen.
Absolutely.
Certainly out there in her part of the California landscape here. In studio with us today, ladies and gentlemen, we do have one of the stars of Parallel Lives, as we said earlier, the beginning of the show. And Parallel Lives, we'll say it once more, written by Sister Act's Kathy Najimy. You remember her, of course, from that marvelous film, and Mo Gaffney. And it's currently in previews, but it's opening tomorrow night, August 26th, at Gary Marshall's Falcon Theater in Toluca Lake. So one more time, let's just say hello to Alice Hunter. We can't get enough of you, Alice.
You guys have incredible radio voices.
Nice of you to say. I tell you, what a joy to have you in studio today. Ellen is so much fun. I'm so glad you were here to talk to her a little bit, you know?
I wish she was here.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting, too. Every time I speak with her or hear her or anything like that, and I think I may have crossed paths with a number of her family members. That runs throughout that entire family.
Right.
Who just have a deep love for the arts, mm-hmm. a deep and true love for promoting the arts and what catharsis you get through performance. What was your artistic journey like? You said you were obviously born in England.
My artistic journey. So I was born in England. I was modeling when I was younger.
No kidding.
Yeah, shock of all shocks,
yeah, really.
Right?
Thanks, guys. Thank you. I had an audition earlier today to play a 1930s prostitute. So I toned down the hair and the makeup, but it was pretty wild.
I've never played one. I just kind of acted out in real life. Is that a problem?
Not at all.
But
no.
Not a modern prostitute. Always a 1930s prostitute.
You should have gone in. I mean, you got a lot of experience. I'll give them a call right now. I'm sure they're still casting.
I've got a chance.
He is blushing.
Right.
From head to toe. Right.
Can
now.
You imagine me going into anything like that? I tell you, it's one of those things where all the jobs we go on these days, I will go from wearing a suit in one audition, drastically changing in my car into something completely different. A cowboy hat I did the other. Oh, my goodness.
So. Oh, yeah. I wear a cowboy hat in this play. This Parallel Lives, well, we're going to get to it, obviously, but I play so many characters that I would never be asked to play.
A la Mo Gaffney, right? Yeah.
A la Mo.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. It's like from, you know, a barfly, drunk barfly gentleman to a 5-year-old Catholic schoolgirl to a... I like everything. Everything. It's incredible. I'm doing things I didn't know I could do.
And what was the casting process like? Did they come to you? So
they did open calls, and then I did know the casting director from life before. But,
who was?
Sandy Logan.
Okay.
Who's amazing. But I met Gary Marshall a couple months before the play. I was at the TV Land Awards, and he was at the TV Land Awards, and I was a trophy model, and I walked him out onto stage to present John Stamos with an award, and we came off stage, and he's going, "Are you an actress?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." He goes, "I should know who you are. You're so tall and beautiful, and I love tall actresses." I was like, "Okay, sweet." He's like, you got a card, you got a shot. I was like standing there in my dress with Emily. No, I'm backstage.
Right, where are you going to put the cards?
Yeah, no. So he was like, write down your name and your information. So I did. I wrote everything down and I gave it to him on a scrappy piece of paper and nothing for like a few weeks.
Did you realize who he was?
Oh, yeah. You know, I was just kind of, what's going on here? but something about, you know, he wasn't at all sleek. You know, a couple of my friends, my reps afterwards were like, oh, okay. And I was like, no. This man is something. No. He's special.
He's very
so
special.
I get a phone call. Hello? Is this Alice? I was like, yeah. This is Gary Marshall. I was like, oh, hi. And he was like, I want to set up a general meeting with you at my office. And so we did. We set up a general. I had an hour with him at his office at Henderson Productions. And he introduced me to everybody. And he looked at all my reels. We discussed all his crazy stories, of which he has many.
Yes.
And then he goes... what did he say? He's like, you're reels. You always play all these characters, but you're so gorgeous in real life. You never get to be really, really gorgeous on screen. He's like, and then I showed him a picture of me, you know, modeling. And he goes, this I can use in a movie. And I was like, great, okay. So I left, and then I get a call through my agents for this audition for this play at the Falcon Theater. And I don't often do theater. It's not, you know, I didn't go to school for acting. I moved out here when I was 17 and just kind of hit the TV film situation.
Wow.
I love the theater. I love all aspects of it, but I always thought, no, it's out of my element. You know, I want to go to school. I'm going to train. I want to go to, you know. And so I'm thrown into this two-woman show situation and this audition, and he wasn't there. I didn't know he was sick at the time. He was kind of in and out of hospital. But then I auditioned, came back, had a callback, had a chemistry read. I booked it, and I see him at the Tennessee Williams Unscripted. I don't know if you guys got to see
that. We did.
Yeah, so I went there to watch a show there because I'd never seen anything at the Falcon, and he came and he was like, I'm so happy this worked out for you. I can't wait to see it. You get to be really pretty in this one. I said, thanks. And that was the last time I saw him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. He was a very special man.
Indeed. I'm pretty sure indeed. Gary Marshall never heard during his entire lifetime, you know, Gary, I'm on a call. I'm going to call you right back. You know, everybody, whenever he calls, I want to talk to that man immediately.
Exactly.
How funny.
So
How
I wouldn't funny. Be I wouldn't be at the Falcon if it wasn't.
Yeah. And his kids are the same way, too.
Very, is that true?
Yeah, they're very charming people. You remind me, and Gary probably saw this in you, too, one of the most beautiful women in the world to me, always from the time I can remember ever first seeing her, was Lena Horne.
Hmm.
And I think that's who you remind me
absolutely.
Of.
Absolutely.
Young Lena Horne. She was so stunning then, and she always, you know, that kind of was just a part of who she was until, you know, the day that she died.
Very honored that you said that. I once emulated her in an acting class.
Wow.
Oh, really?
So I looked at a lot of Lena Horne stuff.
Are you a singer as well?
Yes. My therapist would be proud of me for that. I do. I love to sing. I don't sing professionally, but it's something that, you know, we all have our things. And one of my things is I can't do that. I don't do that. And I'm proving myself wrong every day. So.
That's a good thing to do. I feel like Lena Horne would be good at anything, anytime, any place. Didn't she just seem to have a charisma about her that just made her so successful?
Very special.
Yeah.
And a good actress.
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
Absolutely true. Yeah. Yeah. Michael has never once in our entire time on the radio together compared me to Lena Horne.
No.
Right? What do I do about that?
Well, you compared yourself to a 1930s prostitute.
See?
So
I was just on the wrong street. That's all.
Yeah, exactly.
What a joy to have you here. This comedy that we're talking about, Parallel Lives, is a hilarious show. We're just talking about the production history a little bit. Obviously, it premiered off-Broadway, I believe. Is that correct, Michael?
Yep.
And then I haven't heard of it being done in Los Angeles for a while. What's your experience been like working on this show?
Oh, man. It was overwhelming at first. You get the script. We got the script for all of the skits. It's kind of like a series of vignettes of different characters, and it was overwhelming. But we then obviously figured out we can't do a four-hour show, even though we would have loved to.
You could all be there, but...
Yeah, well. So we slowly started to narrow it down and which characters would work for each. Krista Flanagan and I, who's my co-star, she's amazing. She was on Mad TV. In the original Mad TV. And
right, for 5 seasons.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and she's been doing a lot since. And she writes, she teaches acting at a college somewhere. But And then I just started to really surprise myself. Jenny Sullivan's amazing. She's incredible. Yes. She's so intuitive when it comes to acting. And she really is a collaborator. So she mm-hmm. loves to, you know, if we have an idea or something, she'll listen and she'll try it before saying no.
She's done a few shows there at the Falcon.
Yes. It's such a family there, too. I mean, like you said, Kathleen Marshall, she's around a lot. And,
right.
And Sherry Greshmel, whose name I always butcher. Greshmel. Sorry, Sherry. it's stretched me in all kinds of ways. It's been phenomenal.
Yeah, there's nothing like live theater, right?
Oh, man. It gives and it takes. You're up there, you're like, here I am, world. And you're just in it. I mean, we're playing 17, 18 different characters each for 2 hours. You're really asking the audience to be there with you.
Is it rapid speed?
It is. It's really fast. We got a lot of pacing notes. Faster. We're just like 5 minutes here, 7 minutes here, all these different people. But everything's really grounded because Chris is an amazing actress, and I'm an actor. I'm good. so we have a lot of really good moments, and there's heart in it. There's a lot of heart.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Alice Hunter today, one of the stars of Parallel Lives at the Falcon Theater. And, of course, this is a fun show with lots of laughs. Of course, Kathy and Mo, the Kathy and Mo show, which I think so many people remember so, so fondly.
Mm-hmm.
If you're interested in getting tickets, you can, of course, call the Falcon Theater at 818-955-8101 or visit falcontheater.com. Parallel Lives really is one of the greatest. Now, talking a little bit about your history before and kind of where you came from, obviously, people will know you from different things. You've been on a number of television series, correct?
A few, yeah.
We've seen you on Australian television, of course, the series H2O, is that correct?
Yep, The Mermaid Show.
Right, and it had a subtitle, Just Add Water.
Just Add Water. People still, you know, recognize me from that. Kids.
Interesting.
And, like, they still watch it. I guess it airs around the places. Residuals.
And ladies and gentlemen, she has appeared in multiple seasons of Showtime's House of Lies with Emmy Award-winning actor Jon Cheadle. She has recently been seen on Comedy Central's second season of Another Period, with a third season soon to follow. Other notable credits, of course, that you've had, Alice, include CBS's NCIS and NCIS LA. Do you have to play that drastically different when you're... NCIS, now I'm in LA. Totally different characters?
Yeah,
I
was a cop in one and a petty officer in the other. So
very nice. And, of course, you've done Disney's I Didn't Do It.
Which is one of my personal favorites.
Really? Now, I haven't seen the show.
Disney's I Didn't Do It?
Yeah. And why would that be? Someone of my age? Is because when I first moved into the home that I have at this time, they came out to put the cable in, you know, throughout the house. And you know how those move-in days are. You're like,
yeah,
and you
all
just
too
want
well.
Them to do it, and how quickly can they get out of there? And for some reason, in the master bedroom, they, they hooked that up. They had whatever channel it was on that they were checking out, just for checking it out, was left on. So when I turned it on when I went to bed that night, which I like to have the TV on really for noise for about 10, 15 minutes,
mm-hmm.
it was the Disney Channel. I have never changed that channel since then, and I usually go there for about that 10 or 15 minutes, and that's how I go to sleep.
Wow.
It's addictive, that channel, though.
That show, though. So I've seen all of those shows, you see. And that show, I think those two kids, the two stars of that show, are quite brilliant.
Let me tell you, they are so nice. Yeah. They work so hard on their shows. Wow. Olivia Holt, like, there's lovely kids.
Well,
they're really
great. She's a superstar with Disney, you know.
She is, and she should be a superstar.
Yeah.
She can sing, she can dance.
Yeah.
And she's so nice. Yeah. They're just lovely people on
the
show.
And then the young man that plays her brother on the show.
Austin North?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're
terrific.
Great. They're like kind of geniuses. To play, you know, a really dumb character, you got to be really... You gotta be really good.
Well, I think people would disagree. I play one every day, but you know, I'm with you on that.
Well, he's particularly good looking too, so that working against type for him in that. But
that's true.
Yeah.
All those Disney stars, though, have such a personality about them. I mean, they have to do so many things. They have so many commitments that they have to go to. That's very true.
They do. They work really hard.
Interesting though about those Disney shows. Those kids have every Disney series is only 4 years in length.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
And then that doesn't mean that they won't rerun them. They will do that. But they, or it doesn't mean that they won't hire someone from that series and give them another series.
Yeah.
But each series they cut off after 4 years.
That's interesting.
And I think it's the cycle so that the children who watch them as they grow up.
Yep, that would make sense.
Right.
have something else to watch after that that's a little bit more in their age range.
And that they still have the comfort of knowing the character, right.
Hannah Montana was one of my favorite shows.
Sure. Right.
It really was. I thought Miley was so good.
Yeah. She was good.
On that show.
I don't know what happened after that.
Now she's doing something else. So she's still doing really well, but just something definitely different.
We saw Miley Cyrus. Of course, she was involved with the ALS benefit, correct?
Right.
So, yeah. So at least she's doing some good work out there trying to promote
she
some good
be
causes.
Doing something.
My kids
Seven,
are addicted to the Wild Kratt Brothers. Have you seen this show? This is a show. These guys are geniuses. It's basically Steve Irwin, only it's for younger kids. And Wild Kratts and it's been on for years and years and years. In fact, they had a whole first run of the show that wasn't successful, and they redid it with animation, and it was hugely successful. And now the first one's successful again, is coming back around. And so these guys, these two brothers, the Kratt Brothers, go in and become different animals to teach you about the animals. So they're animated, and they have little adventures and all this sort of thing. And my kids will occasionally pop out with a fact about a snow leopard that makes me think, my kids are going to Harvard this year. It's just from television. You know, it's really amazing to find that it can be educational too. So,
do you have a chance to watch much television?
I have seen an episode or three of most shows just because I like to be informed. I like to know what's out there and the tone of things. But I like to watch the shows that you can binge really quickly.
Thank goodness for Netflix, right?
Like, I loved Luther. I always watch things that are, like, really... have you guys seen Luther? Did you guys watch that?
A little bit, yeah.
I did,
yeah.
Really good. I just watched Stranger Things, which... Guys, get on it.
Get on
Stranger Things.
So
it
good.
Was so special.
Now, you're not into reality shows, though, are you?
I'm not. No, I used to work for one of the Beverly Hills Housewives.
Oh, my.
Ladies, and I had my fish. I was like, okay. And all the friends that I had are now on reality show. No, no.
Oh, yeah. Those are wicked.
Right.
They really, truly are. I got a glance at the New York Housewives the other night just by accident. And I was embarrassed that any one person, whoever they are and whatever their station is in life, can possibly put themselves on TV and expose themselves like that. That's the shocking
Our show, Another Period, on Comedy Central is actually like the Kardashians meets Downton Abbey. It's like these two women who are trying to get famous in the 1900s. It's really something special. So we spoof kind of, they just spoofed The Bachelorette this last season,
Well, I tell you, we're talking, ladies and gentlemen, with Alice Hunter today, star of Parallel Lives at the Falcon Theater, written by Mo Gaffney and Kathy Najimy. Najimy, yeah. And it's so funny. I mean, Mo Gaffney is so, so well known. Of course, Kathy is too. But that style of comedy has been so great for so many years. And it remains so funny. This show was written in the 80s, correct?
Yeah, and performed during that time.
And I mean, it's still so current and so... I mean, you just sit there and laugh. It's very David Ives-esque in a lot of ways.
Well, it's really
too.
Cool because Mo has been in contact with us through this process, kind of giving us a couple fun, up-to-date rewrites.
Wonderful.
So there's a couple lines that you're like, oh, that's 2016 right there. But they've come from Mo, so that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's now, you've recently finished a film which was called A Fortune in Gold, is that correct?
Yeah, I just saw it premiere in L.A. It was at Harmony Gold Theater. I was really happy with the way it
turned
out.
It won Best Picture at Boston International Film Festival, correct?
Yes, it did.
Wow.
It did. And, they're selling it. It's happening, but just all recent now.
So. Will it be in other film festivals, or has it already gone that route?
I think it's already gone that route. I think they're gonna just sell it now. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to speak for them, guys. Sorry. But
cut her in on it now.
For what I saw online, it looks fantastic. Tell me a little bit about your character there.
Her name is Seneca. She is the ultimate hippie child. She's, you know, I saw it, and I do a lot of drugs in that movie. Not in real life. Some at varying stages of high and drunk throughout it, but she's such a bubbly, lovely, warm personality. So balancing those two things was really interesting and fun.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I'd really gotten to do that. I mean, my reps were like, oh, we've never seen you do anything like that. So I'm just all full of firsts this year, guys.
Very much non-Disney Channel, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. I'm all over the place.
Look at that range, ladies
and
gentlemen.
Gary was like, what are you doing?
Crazy. Well, let's tell them how they can see this show.
Absolutely.
Right? Again, of course, Parallel Lives, written by Mo Gaffney and Kathy Najimy, directed by the great Jenny Sullivan, opening tomorrow night, Friday, August 26th at 8 p.m., and it will continue through the September time period. And let's
18th.
See. The 18th, yes, Sunday, September 18th. And all you do to go for tickets is very simple. It's the Falcon Theater, the beautiful Falcon Theater, in the lovely Toluca Lake Burbank area. And that is at 4252 Riverside Drive, officially called Burbank, but it is actually Toluca Lake. That's mm-hmm. what we like to say. And you will call them at 818-955-8101 or go to falcontheater.com. Tickets are on sale now. And it's something, obviously, that you're going to have a heck of a fun evening with. And now you know one of the stars of it personally by listening to this program. And the great thing about that area is that you can have dinner before. There's so many great choices in the immediate area that you can actually just choose your restaurant and walk to the theater.
And be getting nice and fat during lunchtime.
Bob's Big Boy is, of course, my favorite walking spot. It's my little guilty pleasure whenever I go there. But there's so many great pubs right around that area, great restaurants. And one of the great things about the Falcon, too, is, of course, they have a secure lot there. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of street parking when you go see a show there. So that's a really nice venue to go visit.
It is indeed. Yeah. And again, as much as we talk about this on this show, about putting the remote down in front of your television, leave it there, get out and go see and support live theater, because that's what will keep the arts around and living in our cities.
I think what we talked about, with Ellen as well as with Alice today, is that there is such a purpose to going out of the house to go see live performers. I mean, you get a totally different experience than you do planted in front of that television set. And this is a really great show to go see, too, because you're going to come back laughing and happy and feeling good. There's a time for catharsis, but there's a time to go out there and just laugh and really experience a fun night out. And, you know, Mo Gaffney is, of course, one of the best at that. So.
We will be there tomorrow night to support you, Alice, and Krista.
Absolutely.
So we have an arts calendar that we need to address real quickly, and then we also need to talk about a show that we saw last weekend. So,
will you hang around with us, Alice?
And I would love to, guys. I love your voices.
You need to be thinking about, you know,
oh boy,
the end of the show.
Oh boy.
So, shall we start this off?
Let's do that.
All right.
Simon Levy directs the West Coast premiere of Baby Doll, adapted by Pierre Lavelle and Emily Mann from the 1956 Academy Award-nominated film of the same name. Baby Doll opens at the Fountain Theater on July 29th, starring Daniel Bess, Karen Kadazian, and Lindsay Levanci. Excuse me, I apologize.
Levanci.
I apologize. My eyes are going out today. And John Prosky and George Roland.
Yes, it already opened, of course, being that it was July 29th.
Of course.
Darkly comic and crackling with sexual tension, Baby Doll is the story of a 19-year-old married virgin, Baby Doll Megan, who must consummate her marriage in 2 days on her 20th birthday, as long as her middle-aged husband, Archie Lee, upholds his end of the bargain to provide her with a comfortable life. When Archie Lee burns down his neighbor's cotton gin to save his failing business, his rival Sicilian immigrant Silva Vaccaro arrives to seek revenge. What ensues is a complex mix of desire and desperation, with Baby Doll as both player and pawn.
Adapted for the screen by Tennessee Williams from one of his one-act plays called 27 Wagons Full of Cotton, Baby Doll was directed by Ilian Kazan and starred Carl Malden, Carol Baker, and newcomer Eli Wallach. It immediately caused a sensation due in large part to the poster image depicting Baker in a crib sucking her thumb. It was labeled notorious, scandalous, revolting, steamy, lewd, suggestive, provocative, and morally repellent. And the Cardinal Francis Spellman, the Archbishop of New York, personally denounced the film before it was even released, declaring that Catholics would be committing a sin if they saw it. Baby Doll then premiered on stage at the MacArthur Theater in Princeton, New Jersey, and the Fountain production is only its second production.
That's right.
Michael, did you see this film?
I did, actually.
Man, of course, I wasn't around for the original buzz, but even when I saw it years and years later,
right,
it was still very taboo.
Baby Doll continues its current run at the Fountain Theater through September 25th, with performances on Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., and Mondays at 8 p.m. Tickets range very, very inexpensively from $15 to $35, and every Monday at the Fountain Theater, when they are in production, is pay what you can.
Mm-hmm.
That's Not too bad. Take advantage of that. The Fountain Theater is located at 5060 Fountain Avenue at Normandy in Los Angeles. Secure on-site parking is available for $5. The Fountain Theater is air-conditioned and wheelchair accessible. And for reservations, simply call 323-663-1525 or visit fountaintheater.com.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine being in the audience for the premiere of a great Tennessee Williams play, something like, you know, one of his great works, where you're sitting there and seeing these characters, you know, Stanley Kowalski for the first time, something like that? That's a real chance to go see this at the Falcon. This adaptation is supposed to be very true to the film and has some really amazing actors in it.
At the Falcon?
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, at the Fountain. We got all F theaters
wrong
here
place.
Today.
I was like, wait, they replaced us? What happened?
That would be terrible. No, not this late in the game. They wouldn't do it. Although it's funny because the Fountain Theater is a great venue to go visit as well. So.
Okay, let's give this little show that we saw on Saturday evening some sort of attention here.
What were your thoughts, Michael?
Well, first of all, we'll sound off Alice here. The show is billed as Drama Queens from Hell. What's the show? A comedy, a world premiere comedy. And the Odyssey Theater is a very distinguished theater. It was a guest production there. We went there. We had two of the stars on the show. They were fantastic.
Yeah, Christopher was, and both of them were really fantastic.
Big
yeah.
Broadway stars. Yeah. Huge credits from Broadway. And we arrived that evening, and it was, you know, typical opening night, energy in the air. We were anticipating a wonderful evening, and then the show began.
Oh boy.
And then there was a big pause in my thoughts. I thought, what the hell are we looking at here? I was kind of embarrassed to be in something that I felt was terribly amateurish, actually. And I leaned over to Andrew at one point, and I said, I don't know if it's me or if it's the book or it's the actors or it's a combination thereof, but I said, what is going on? And he kind of look back with the glance that he's giving me now, and I think we both were in the same spot as far as our feelings about it. Not to say that, you know, it's a new work, not to say that it didn't have the potential of standing up at some point in time, but it certainly had no business of being put on at this juncture of its little lifetime. And I say that encouragingly, if someone, you know, if one of our guests is listening that was here, the actors did the best that they possibly could with the material that was given to them.
Christopher developed, she delivered some beautiful moments.
Yes,
of
she did.
Really taking a character who she plays a character who is desperately trying to get a role, Gloria Swanson's role, in Sunset Boulevard.
In a remake of Sunset Boulevard.
And to be fair to the production, I think that there was a lot of stuff that they wanted to do to shock you. They say at the very beginning, if you're easily offended, leave. And I think that maybe some of the problems were in how that was accomplished. At times it seemed almost like they were doing things for simply shock value, some of
right.
the profanity and stuff. And neither you or I are prudes at all, are we,
no,
Michael?
No, we're not. But I mean, the use of profanity is fine in theater if it's used correctly. But when it is used consistently, as you said, for mm-hmm. shock value, why?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was jarring at times because you realize that some of the character portrayals were beautiful. I mean,
right.
really brilliant character
right.
portrayals. Christopher certainly delivered a heartfelt performance of a woman who so desperately wanted to get this job to continue on with her career. And I thought that was kind of diluted by some of the other stuff that they put around. Also, props and stuff being wheeled on in a kind of cavalier manner to where the fluidity of the show was compromised by it. I thought that was interesting that they chose that. And I think it could be so much more effective if they'd done it in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as I said, when I said at the beginning, amateurish, it just had a feeling of that going through it. And again, these actors were working hard and doing what they were supposed to be doing, given the material that, you know, they were given. And I just think that if this show has the idea that it's going to go on,
mm-hmm.
it needs to really step back and take a look at itself. And certainly the reviews I have read to date have all agreed with this.
I think particularly in the book, the actual text had some severe problems that could be easily fixed with a simple rewrite.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Do they have previews, many previews?
I did not see
any previews.
I think they had just one or two before they opened, actually.
And obviously Parallel Lives has had previews, correct?
The Falcon's really great. They do like a week of previews.
And I think that's so beneficial to performers, but also to playwrights to go, whoa, that's not going to work. I need to fix that. So previews, you're exactly right, would be a great fix.
The opening night, though, this show, there were a lot of celebrity types there. And I looked around at the audience, and when the first act finished, people really didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I was like, do they applaud? Or what did we just see? You know, it was something crazy. But anyhow, we are off that subject now. But don't let that detour you. It's just something that we personally probably don't recommend that you see it. But that's your business if you'd like to see it.
We do, however, highly recommend some of the shows that we've talked about here today. Of course, anything you see at the Theatricum, you're going to have a good time. The venue is beautiful, and of course, it's under the careful guidance of Ellen Gear. And the Falcon Theater as well, which is now presenting Parallel Lives, and we're talking to one of the stars today, Alice Hunter. Alice, can we embarrass you at the end of the show? Will you permit us to do that today?
Of course.
We do something on this show called...
And now... Embarrassing Moments.
Do you have something in your career that has been a moment on stage or perhaps on set where you thought, much like my technical gaffe today where I hit the button and you thought, we got to start the show over, but this is live theater, this is live performance, you can't stop, you got to continue on. Have you had anything happen like that in your career?
You know, I was sitting here thinking about things that have happened, and I'm not very easily embarrassed. So there is a thing that happened that if I told anybody, it would probably be embarrassing, but nobody knew until this moment.
Breaking news here on State of the Arts, ladies and gentlemen.
I was shooting an indie film that had a decent budget. We were in San Francisco in the Bay, and we were on a boat, and our boat was falling apart. But that's another story. And my character had to row off of that boat in a little rowboat. We were filming. It was like 3-4 in the morning. We were on this little island in the bay. And there's sharks and all kinds of things in that bay water. And the boat was falling apart. So you can imagine the rowboat was falling apart. I had one oar.
Oh, no.
And they put a little rope on the little rowboat and then just pushed me out, and we had to get this shot. It was all, you know, everything was a time crunch, everything was a wind was happening. We had these giant big lighting balloons and one of them popped and it was crazy. And so they were like, just go. And this was like the moment where I put my hand into the water and then boom, it yanks me in.
Uh-oh.
But I, you know, and I was out there for so long. I mean, out, right? And they can't see me, and I'm like waving my oar around and no one's looking at me, and I'm just like, oh Jesus.
No.
And I was out there for so long that I had to pee on myself in this rowboat. And then I'm sitting there thinking, are sharks attracted to urine? I don't know. Like what? Like,
or maybe it's a shark repellent. You may have stumbled upon.
Maybe that's why
amazing...
it's still alive today. I don't know. But
I think that's what it was.
That movie almost killed me. Yep.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think anybody's going to compare acting to rocket scientist, but it is so difficult on some of the sets we're on and some of the things that we have to do. It's really amazing to see how many performers have stories like this, and that is one of the best I've heard in years.
Yeah,
Michael, it was great to see you today.
Same here, Sir Andrew, and also Alice. We're going to see you tomorrow night on stage. Can't wait.
Yay!
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Andrew David James.
I'm Michael Sterling.
Alice.
And we will see you,
Alice Hunter,
on the radio.
On the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.